name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And as ye would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. This is a familiar passage. It's known as the Golden Rule. As I mentioned some months back when I talked in some detail about the Golden Rule, there are many religions and many philosophers that have given what is sometimes called the Golden Rule, but more appropriately is called the Silver Rule, which is don't do to anyone else what you wouldn't want them to do to you. And if we would even do that much, most of us would be a lot further down the path to salvation, because very often we in fact do to other people things that we wouldn't want them to do to us. And so we're violating even the Silver Rule, the rule that even pagan philosophers and other religions were able to recognize. But the gospel goes beyond that and says not just don't do to somebody else what you wouldn't want them to do to you, but do to other people what you would want them to do to you. Treat them the way that you want to be treated. In the Gospel of Matthew, we have the parallel passage where it says, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them, for this is the law and the prophets. In the Gospel readings that talk about the two great commandments, which is to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love thy neighbor as thyself, Christ says, on this hang all the law and the prophets. So here, he's not saying that this is the whole law and the prophets, but this is the law and the prophets. This is what you find throughout the law and the prophets. But those two things summarize everything in the scripture in a nutshell. And the Golden Rule explains to you what it means to love your neighbor as yourself. And we should note in the gospel reading that we just heard that there's no exception made for your enemies, because explicitly we're told we're supposed to love our enemies. Because if it had just said do to other people what you would want them to do to you, people might say, well, but obviously that doesn't apply to our enemies, to people who treat us badly. That only applies to people who we just happen to encounter, who haven't hurt us, or to people that we know. And there's no exception made for people who don't return the favor, because the gospel reading tells us that we're to do to other people not expecting anything back. We're to lend to people not expecting to get back as much as we've given them. And so the fact that someone else may not treat us the way that we want them to treat us doesn't give us an excuse to not do to them the way that we would want them to do to us. So there's no exception here. Metropolitan Gregory of St. Petersburg, who opposed in 1860, commented in some detail on this passage. He's not a canonized saint, but he's certainly regarded as a very pious man, and his writings are very highly regarded, and probably one of these days he'll be added to the calendar of the saints. I don't like to read texts in sermons because I know that it can be very monotonous, but I'm going to read his comments on this, and I'll try to do it in such a way that it'll make it easy for you to pay attention, but please put forth the effort, because I think his comments are very important. But he elaborates point by point on what it means to fulfill the Golden Rule. Number one, you want the best for yourself and are satisfied when everything works out for the best. On the other hand, you are not pleased when for some reason things fail. Therefore, wish the best for all your neighbors. Rejoice when they are happy and commiserate with them when they fall into misfortune. Number two, it is unpleasant when people react to you poorly and suspect you of some evil doing. Therefore, do not speak poorly of anyone. And without sufficient cause, do not be suspicious of anyone. Love thinketh no evil, which is a quote from 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Number three, it is pleasant for you when people speak well of you. Therefore, you should speak well of all your neighbors, but especially careful not to slander your neighbor. Slander is the work of Satan. Let it belong to him alone. He refers to Revelations 12, 10. You speak only good of your neighbor. Number four, when someone speaks poorly about someone outside your circle, try, if at all possible, to defend or excuse him. Beside this, never repeat that which you have heard, for it frequently happens that things that are said about people because of malice or out of revenge, or to repeat that which was said, can cause enmity. Enmity is described in the in the Word of God as one of those vices which can prevent one from entering into the kingdom of heaven. He refers to Galatians chapter 5, verse 20. And I'll interject a comment here when he talks about gossip and not repeating it. Those of you that are old enough to remember Hee Haw will remember the gossip song where the gossip girls would sing the song, "We're not ones to be repeating gossip. No, we're not the gossiping kind. You'll never catch us repeating gossip, so you better listen close enough the first time." So, but we often try to find some excuse in our mind that, well, no, we're not really gossiping because I'm passing on some important information. But more often than not, when we have that twinge of conscience and we're trying to find an excuse for passing on gossip, we're finding an excuse, and it's not a real legitimate reason. We should really pray about, do we really need to tell someone something? There are times when we have to tell some other people some negative things about someone else, for the good of them, for maybe even for the good of the person that we're talking about, but it should be very restrained. And if we feel like we're getting some pleasure out of being the one that has the inside scoop, that's probably a good sign that we're gossiping and that we're not trying to do something that is to someone's salvation. Back to Metropolitan Gregory here. Number 5, it is unpleasant for you when people divulge your shortcomings, and especially your vices. Therefore, when you see the weaknesses and vices of others, do not announce them to everyone. For, and he's quoting here, love beareth all things, endureth all things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. He's selectively quoting sections of it, but that's the reference. Look for the right occasion and lovingly point out the weakness and vices you noticed. Incline the person to correct himself. After a time, if you see that the vices you notice do not scandalize others, and you yourself cease from mentioning them, if possible, tell them to a person like the priest who is assigned to correct and check them and protect others from temptation and harm. To tempt others is a terrible sin. You do not like it when others treat you roughly and offend you in some way. Therefore, you should treat everyone kindly without exception. Be especially careful not to use swear words or offensive words. If it so happens that someone treats you crudely, angrily, and says unpleasant things to you, then answer him meekly, for a soft answer turneth away wrath, Proverbs 15, verse 1. If it happens that they become that because of an offense you become angry with your neighbor, then say nothing, for immediately your anger will flame up, and in an impassioned state, you are likely to consider it necessary to say something that you later will sorely regret, but will be incapable of correcting. While angry, say nothing, but wait until you have completely calmed down. If your neighbor is for some reason very angry with you, do not attempt to talk him out of it, even if it seems very unnecessary. For while he is in the heat of anger, the passion is in control of him and not his reason. Therefore, you must not try to dissuade him. It is impossible to speak convincingly to someone who is out of his mind. Your words will only make him more angry and force him to do something possibly harmful to you. Number 6, you are pleased when people help you when you are in need. Therefore, strive yourself as much as you can to help your neighbors in all his needs. And I won't read the rest of what he has to say elaborating on that, but he talks about the various ways that we can help those around us in the form of giving alms and assistance. But he sums up his whole commentary with these words. This is how we should love our neighbor. If we were filled with love for our neighbors, we would be perfectly happy. Then there would be no such unhappiness on earth, and our life would become like the life of our ancestors in blissful paradise. Let us zealously fulfill the Lord's commandment of love for our neighbor, and in every way possible strive to bring our lives closer to that of our ancestors in paradise. Now, it's probably not ever going to happen that we're going to get to the point where everyone around us is fulfilling these commandments perfectly, and we actually arrive at that blissful state while we're still in the flesh. But we have control over one person in the universe, and that's us. And we should strive to make sure that if no one else around us is fulfilling that commandment, at least we are fulfilling that commandment. And one thing that I often refer to, but St. Seraphim of Sarov talks about how if we acquire the spirit of peace, thousands around us will be saved. And this is the kind of thing that influences other people in a very subtle way. You can try to talk people into faith, you can try to talk people into piety, but they're much more swayed when they see the life matching up to the words. And when people encounter a true Christian, someone who is really loving, someone who is really sacrificing, someone who doesn't answer back when they're mistreated but responds in a loving and meek way, they're moved by that. They begin to see that this is really, there's really something about this person that makes them different and inspires them to want to know more. And so you'll convince a lot more people to embrace the gospel and to try to emulate and fulfill the commandments that we're talking about here if they see it actually fulfilled in you. And I'll close with the words of the prophet Micah. He has showed thee, O man, what is good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? But to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Amen.